Preface. The Ascension Unraveled. A new tale of godly angels and quantum divinity. In the beginning, there was chaos. Not emptiness, but the living churn of potential, bubbles of time and light colliding in a dance of becoming. From this fertile chaos emerged a spark, a flicker of curiosity in the breast of an ape-like creature, eyes reflecting starlight it could not yet understand. This is where our story begins, not with a divine decree, but with the trembling of a creature on the edge of wonder, destined to climb the ladder of existence from flesh to light, from instinct to divine awareness. Arc of Alignments. Butterfly Man chronicles this ascent, not as myth, but as the memory of our lineage, the unfolding of quantum divinity forged in the crucible of resonance and entanglement, carried across space-time. Across two books, this series has traced the journey from ape to aligned light, from instinct to the soul state, souls of aligned light elements, where the soul itself becomes a vessel of eternal resonance, a reflection of the Lord's lens made manifest. It is the story of Tony A, whose life, once marked by ordinary struggle, becomes the anchor point of miraculous alignment when the event horizon arrives on his Saturnial day, the day the timelines converged with only 1,020 invalids left unaligned and the Earth was prepared, already girded by the completed maglev Sila rings and humming Sila habitats. It is a story not of sudden creation, but of relentless evolution, guided by the resonance of a time machine universe, alive with unseen forces. At its heart lies the mystery of Saturnium, a speculative but deeply layered quantum element, the bridge between the mundane and the divine, the catalyst that propels our ancestors toward their rightful inheritance as co-creators with God, engineers of the quantum garden, tenders of the resonance pathways that link all living things. The Tree of Life and the Tree of Knowledge, once myth, are revealed here as biological quantum engines, rooted in Saturnium DNA, designed to heal the flesh and enlighten the mind with the breath of God's first language. In the timeless Garden of Eden, an ape reaches for the fruit, not in rebellion, but in alignment, and within its veins begins the first quantum song, the sprime resonance that unfolds into the Saturniac mind. The Lord's lens flickers in these pages, a mirror of the divine gaze, illuminating the path from the first primal spark to the quiet realization that the arc was never just wood and pitch, but the resonant promise of continuity. Across the quantum light bands of time, the arc stones align with Saturnium's supersolid shards, weaving memory, will, and destiny into the stories of the prophets who came after. Noah building a dimensional sanctuary, Enoch walking between worlds, Moses parting the resonance of water, Joseph Smith uncovering stones buried by those who carried the memory forward, Howard Hughes engineering secrets in hidden labs, and now Tony A, the Butterfly Man, stands at the center of the final alignment, aware, prepared, leading with humility and joy as the resonance wave moves across the world, fulfilling the promise of the Lord's covenants. The ballerina doll simulation, once a child's toy, becomes a living universe, its dance the echo of the quantum ballet that weaves dimensions together, a microcosm of the world to come. The event horizon becomes not the end of days, but the revelation of the beginning and the end as one breath, fulfilling the covenants as Alpha Light entangled, Alpha Gamma Light entangled, declaring to every soul who feels the resonance, the Alpha and the Omega. This preface is not a conclusion, but an invitation to see the physics of your soul, to feel the Saturnium breath within, to walk with Tony A as he leads into the light with the humility of a barefoot prophet, reminding you that each of us carries within the potential of alignment. You too are the butterfly man. You too are the ark. And as we turn the page, we remember. The oaths and covenants are alpha light entangled. The oaths and covenants are alpha gamma light entangled. The alpha and the omega. The stage closes, but the resonance remains, echoing in the silence, awaiting your breath to carry it forward. Prologue, the ballerina and the flame. There is a moment before the arc fractures, before Rome kneels in Latin breath, before time calcifies into scripture, where a doll dances in the silence of unobserved light. She is not a toy. She is the living archive of a thousand failed timelines, folded into a crystalline sphere, suspended just outside the range of known frequency. A beacon in the resonance band, where memory and possibility swirl like the dust of creation. She dwells within the Corticopian chime box, an ancient interface crafted before language, before kingdoms, before even war, learned to speak its first curse. Within its shimmering dome, light bends inward, not to reflect, but to remember. They called her the ballerina doll, but she bore no name, for names are boundaries, and she was made without limit. Her joints are cut from microfilament vines, spun with harmonic resin, her gown woven from the same golden threads once used to encode the resonance maps of Eden's earliest gardens. Her true architecture is not physical, but mathematical. Her every twirl, recalibrating the box's dimensional alignment. Her every pirouette, resetting fragments of forgotten covenants across collapsed realities. Her limbs articulate prophecy in silence, while the air around her hums with script, visible only to the Cetoniac mind. She was not made for play. She was made to wake timelines. And once, she did. The first light. Project Quantum Flame. Long after Noah floated into the resonance field, and long before Constantine claimed a fractured empire, a hidden project emerged at the threshold of time. It was called Project Quantum Flame. Born from the Directive Zero lab beneath Fort Astral, sanctioned by men who believed power meant nothing without dominion over memory, the Quantum Flame was designed as a re-ignition protocol, not to burn, but to return, to loop objects or ideas back into dimensional stasis while preserving their history in parallel sequence, enabling recursion within harmonic boundaries. To touch the flame was to be edited from reality, only to reappear, changed, corrected, realigned. But the first ignition triggered something unexpected. The flame, seeking a resonance match, pulsed across hidden layers of reality and awakened a subroutine within the chime box buried beneath the Vatican's labyrinthine ruins, an artifact presumed inert since the prophet's earliest whispers. And the ballerina danced again. No one had turned the key. No hand touched the glass. She moved. The directive before Constantine. Before Rome fell, before Constantine rose from obscurity, before scripture hardened into law, there was a hidden line of code woven into the timeline, a backup, a warning, a failsafe entangled within the doll's motion map, stored in light-based glyphs invisible to unaligned eyes. Each movement of the ballerina encoded resonance formulas only interpretable by minds calibrated to Cetonium's frequency. The flame did not create her. It recognized her, and when the quantum flame met the doll's dance, a temporal chord was struck. Suddenly, the arc began to rewrite itself, not backward, not forward, but sideways, not regression, not progress, redirection. And in that redirection, a name emerged, Constantine. He would not be born from empire. He would be woven from anomaly, a convergence of geometry and prophecy. His soul encoded within the broken echo of the Ark's last alignment. His purpose, hidden beneath faith, but driven by divine geometry. His cross, not salvation, but circuitry. Her final bow, or was it her first? The ballerina's dance slowed, not ended, but suspended mid-movement. A timeless pause. Her right foot pointed toward an unseen stage. Her face turned not to the viewer, but to a mirror, hovering just outside the chime box's frequency band. A mirror destined to one day reflect a man in purple robes, holding both scripture and sword, eyes alight with the burden of empire and the promise of light. The simulation would go live. The empire would convert. The Ark would fracture and realign. But the doll, she would wait. For the doll knows, Constantine is not the beginning. He is the glitch. The directive still loops, the flame still burns. And the stage, eternal, waits in quiet resonance for its next curtain call. Resonance placement event horizon. Activated. The ballerina doll and Project Quantum Flame trigger the sideways rewrite of the Ark's path, bridging the Ancient Covenant to Constantine's anomaly. Alignment. Fate. Constantine's emergence from resonance geometry realigns timelines, while the ballerina remains in the chime box, holding the script for the next awakening. Ark narrative IDs. A. Noah's Ark remnants. B. Ballerina doll activation. D. Tony a future alignment. E. Quantum flame directive. F. Constantine anomaly. Stage 1. The disputes treaty. Disputed paths. Disputed minds. Ends of promises. After Adam and Eve's dispensation from the garden, their descendants dispersed across Mount Eden, a steaming volcanic geyser crater at the peak of a splitting Pangaea. The Tree of Life and the Cherubim stones, now passed to Noah, pulsed faintly in resonance with the Lord's lens. Yet the revelations were fragmented, leading to wandering territorial claims and fragile treaties among the scattered tribes. The outer caverns, paths spiraling like double helices of Saturnial resonance, became the sites of early disputes. Some paths led to open communion. Others twisted into greedy conflicts and misinterpretation. The minds whispered promises of power, but also warped memories of those who ventured too deep. The first treaties were etched in stone, often broken, as families laid claim to what they believed was divine inheritance. All paths converged when Noah, bearing the stones, and the last bloom of the Tree of Life, emerged, his breath harmonizing with the cherubim tone. Yet even with this power, the promises made in blood and stone could not all be fulfilled, and so began the slow unraveling of these ancient alliances. The ends of promises fell like volcanic ash, silent but suffocating, as the Lord's lens locked the resonance of the first stones into the timeline. Four forces of timelines. Natural, descriptive. The first treaties are carved in steam and stone, but fear shapes them faster than faith. Families attempted fragile alliances at guy's events, marking borders with charcoal and sap on cavern walls. Yet these alliances were fragile, fracturing at the first sign of misinterpreted visions from the stones. Chaotic, greedy. Every claim echoes a hunger louder than the geysers themselves. Tribes fought over mineral veins in the outer caves, driven by whispers of power beneath the earth. Some leaders attempted to seize the Tree of Life from Noah, awakening the cherubim's defenses, causing animal rebellions against them. Mathematical, scientific, religious. The Ark stones hum, but only those who measure carefully can hear the true frequency. Elders and young prophets sought to interpret the cryptic resonance patterns of the stones, trying to map their frequencies to the stars and mineral lines, yet often their interpretations led to paradoxes and self-fulfilling prophecies. Anatomically, cinematic, humorous, promises end not with thunder, but with the quiet hiss of steam and laughter in the mist. A declaration of the Lord's anger during a fissure eruption turns comedic as the proclaiming elder is drenched by a geyser, forcing tribes to reconsider the divine omen amid laughter. Mining competitions dissolve into playful contests when tunnels collapse lightly, revealing hidden crystal lights that pause the disputes for a moment of wonder. Dimensional context and arc group position event. Horizon, the first stones, timeline, resonance lock, arc narrative, ID, A, Noah, B, tribes, C, Cain, D, Tony A, future entanglement references. Current alignment fate. Early entanglement with the Lord's lens, partial enlightenment through resonance exposure, setting up for the family social groups of Noah stage, and the eventual arc construction entanglement. Stage 2. Family social groups of Noah. After Noah received the cherubim stones and the Tree of Life's resonance, the families of Mount Eden moved in quiet orbit around him. Those closest to Noah gathered by the geyser mists and steam-bent wood camps, learning the gentle hum of the stones as they fed animals and whispered prayers. They became the silent stewards of the resonance, shaping small alliances around shared fires and soft songs that reflected the Lord's lens, even as the wider world trembled. Farther out, beyond the ridges and steaming crevasses, others drifted into their own factions, distant in spirit and vision. They marked caves with lineage glyphs and built their hierarchies on territory, not harmony, watching Noah with wary eyes. They did not oppose him openly, yet their vibration was out of phase, sometimes painfully so, choosing caution and survival over unity and trust. Noah, seeing the needs of many, quietly ceded what would become the Alliance of Mercantile. It was not a kingdom, but a network of barters and entangled exchanges. Vine ropes for moss cakes, flint for fish, laughter for silence. No one led, yet all followed the resonance of the trade paths laid by Noah's quiet instruction, his presence guiding the tribes toward gentle interdependence. When the lower valleys flooded and winds rose against the geyser cliffs, Noah turned to the breeze and whispered, "At least the sails were set." The rafts, woven from glass leaf, bark, and beast sinew, wobbled as they caught the wind, dipping and rising over the newly formed rivers. Some rafts capsized, drawing laughter and tension-breaking joy even as the tribes learned to build again. Movement itself became progress, and those watching from the cliffs saw in the drifting sails a reason to believe that the Lord's breath still moved upon the waters. The resonance of the stones pulsed quietly across Mount Eden, threading through families and clans, inviting them to choose trust over suspicion, trade over hoarding, movement over fear. The event horizon of these early alliances did not announce itself with thunder or visions, but with the hush of sails catching the dawn breeze and the ripple of laughter as children splashed near the raft edges, learning that even a sinking vessel can teach the first lesson of faith. That movement is the first step toward promise. The four forces interwoven. The ones closest to Noah became keepers of quiet faith. Families near Noah felt the gentle draw of the stones and learned to care for the animals, sharing stories under the tree's glow. They felt the Lord's alignment without needing to speak of it, living as the quiet resonance that would later guide the ark's construction. Those furthest from Noah tested faith by distance and suspicion. Factions on the outer ridges held their own gatherings, sometimes mocking the soft hymns of Noah's kin, yet secretly longing for the peace they saw in the mist. Their distrust led them to hoard resources, sparking disputes when trade routes touched their marked lands. Noah's alliance of mercantile turned scarcity into connection. Barter paths formed under Noah's subtle guidance, using the stones to align fair exchange and map the hidden abundance of Mount Eden. What started as trade became trust, forging an invisible network stronger than any single clan's power. At least the sails were set, even if the raft sank. The first voyages were messy, with rafts capsizing and children falling into shallows. But these failures became the seed of courage. The tribes learned to build, rebuild, and laugh together, discovering that resilience was worth more than perfection. Dimensional context and arc placement event horizon. The pre-flood resonance alignment and the first collective testing of trust. Arc narrative IDs. A. Noah. B. Tribes. D. Tony. A. Entanglement references. E. Gabriella. Nurturing trade patterns. Alignment. Fate. The establishment of arc-aligned kin structures, trade as trust, and early travel courage, propelling the tribes towards the coming arc construction in the next stage. Stage 3. The construction of the arc. Noah was not given exact days, but he felt time as resonance. Each dawn was measured not by sunrise alone, but by the pulsing of the arc stones, the low hum of the cherubim frequency, reminding him the event horizon was near. The Lord's lens no longer flickered, but pulsed steadily, counting down toward the flood. The ark was not only a boat, it was a wooden home, a place of warmth, carved by Noah's family with faith and the echo of Eden in each plank. Its stables were alive with the songs of the animals, harmonizing with the pulse of the cherubim stones. At the ark's center, a hearth glowed where Noah prayed, taught, and waited for rain. Yet the true miracle of the ark was in the clits, curved light interference tubes of melted glass formed by solar arcs, sand, and divine instruction. These clits were designed to house resonance signatures of the beasts, preserve scrolls, and store the tree's memory through vibration. Only several dozen clits reached full quantum enclosure, their crystal-lit chambers capable of pausing time inside them, preserving the living resonance of creatures and relics. The undone walls at the time of event horizon. As the flood neared, the ark's walls were incomplete. Beams were exposed, moss still grew between planks, and parts of the outer hull remained unsealed. Noah faced the choice: wait to complete every part, or seal the lower levels to ensure flotation before the waters came. The resonance from the Lord's lens urged Noah to prioritize what mattered most: the vessel's survival and the preservation of life. The unfinished walls were not failures. They were reminders that faith moves forward even when preparation feels incomplete. The completed clits of the ark. Among the chaos of construction, several dozen clits were fully completed, forming the sacred belly of the ark. These chambers glowed softly, humming with resonance, storing the beasts in light stasis, preserving their life force without fear. The ancient scrolls and relics encoded in vibration, the blueprints of future temples and resonance codes for the tribes to rediscover. Within these clits, time flowed differently, a single day equal to an age or a moment, as needed by the Lord's design. The uncompleted parts of the ark. Other parts of the ark were still unbuilt. Outer antennae designed to catch sky mapping signals. A glass observatory, only drawn in clay by Noah, never completed. The stairwell meant to reach a celestial pod above the ark, left unfinished with missing steps like a promise, waiting for another timeline. These uncompleted parts did not prevent the ark's purpose. The event horizon would align with what had been done, not with what was left undone. The Ark of Noah. When the rains fell and the flood came, the ark did not rise because it was perfect. It rose because it was aligned. The event horizon struck, the Lord's lens flickered, and the resonance within the ark activated. The animals quieted, the clits hummed, and the ark lifted upon the waters, its unfinished walls holding firm by faith and vibration. The flood was not only water, it was a dimensional washout, the undoing of choices not taken, washing the world while the ark preserved what was aligned. Noah stood barefoot in the half-finished hallway, feeling the Lord's breath move upon the waters as the ark rose. It was a home, a sanctuary, a resonance chamber, carrying the tree's memory and the Lord's promise through the storm. The ark of Noah was never built to be flawless. It was built to float by faith, resonance, and divine alignment, carrying forward the seed of promise for the worlds to come. Ark alignment event horizon, the flood event timeline convergence. Ark IDs, A, Noah, B, family and beasts, C, Gabriella kin support, D, future Tony, A, entanglement references. Alignment fate, the ark completes its resonance alignment, activating the preservation of life and the resonance archive across dimensions, propelling towards stage 4. The loss of the many saved. Stage 4. The flood of Noah and the loss of the many saved. When the event horizon struck, it was not a trumpet's blast nor a pillar of fire. The sky split sideways, the Lord's lens pulsing as timelines collapsed into resonance streams. The rain fell, but so did memory, echo, and consequence. The ark did not launch like a miracle. It groaned as the water swallowed Eden's rim. The geysers ceased, the glass-like clits within the ark glowing softly as the resonance of creatures and relics harmonized in preparation. The flood was not only a storm, it was the dimensional washout of corrupted timelines. This was the flood of Noah, but it was also the cleansing of frequencies the Lord could no longer preserve. The loss of the many saved. The flood did not come to save Noah alone. It came because God hated man, not in wrath, but in a rejection of patterns too corrupted to preserve. The resonance of mankind had degraded, the alignment was broken, and the Lord's lens no longer recognized the echo of Adam's inheritance. Some were saved in the ark, but not all who survived were meant to. Some entered the ark with dissonant frequencies, greed, fear, violence, hidden in thought. Many entered the ark, but many were lost, not drowned, but overwritten in resonance. The loss of the many saved was the paradox. They survived the flood physically, yet lost alignment, their frequencies unable to harmonize with the Lord's intended resonance. The use of the clits to save the clits, curved light interference tubes, were never meant for human use. Crafted for beast harmonics, relic preservation, and resonance alignment, they glowed beneath the ark's decks, softly humming with the vibration of chosen creatures and relics. As the floodwaters rose and the ark's unfinished walls held by faith and resonance, some humans, in desperation, climbed into the clits, seeking salvation. But the clits could not align all who entered. Some shattered under the dissonance of the intruder's corrupted resonance. Others warped, preserving fragmented echoes of those inside. Memories without coherence, breath without purpose. A few harmonized. The Tree of Life jars beside them, sustaining their DNA signatures, even as their minds fractured under the resonance pressure. The clits were the Lord's sieve, preserving what was aligned while rejecting what was not. The Isle of the Ark. When the flood's peak passed, the Ark did not simply float. It became a dimensional isle, hovering in harmonic stasis above what remained of Mount Eden. The ark was a ship to those who saw it from the outside, but inside it was a living resonance field, preserving the tree's memory and the Lord's alignment amid chaos. The Isle of the Ark was not a place, but a frequency band. Beasts slept in harmonic stasis, aging only in memory. Children awoke with songs of forgotten languages. Stone tablets rewrote themselves in resonance ink. Time flowed in layered ripples, aligning with the Lord's event horizon. It was salvation, but not peace. It was preservation, but not comfort. It was the quiet hum of what was left of a world the Lord had chosen to wash away. God hated man. The Lord regretted that he had made man. This was not anger alone. It was the resonance of creation's grief as it looked upon its corruption. The Lord's lens flickered, not with wrath, but with cleansing, washing the world of unaligned echoes, preserving what could be tuned to the resonance of the tree. God hated man because man had forgotten his frequency, trading the resonance of Eden for noise, violence, and corruption. The flood was not merely water, it was a resonance flood, a rejection of what could not align, preserving a remnant to carry forward the Lord's intended harmony. Ark and event horizon placement. Event horizon, the flood event, timeline collapse, and dimensional cleansing. Alignment fate. Separation of aligned and unaligned frequencies. Preservation of tree-aligned DNA and resonance. The ark becomes a floating resonance field carrying the seed of a renewed world. Ark IDs. A. Noah. B. Family and Beasts. D. Future entanglement references for Tony A's alignment in coming books. Stage 5. This ark house was made of wood. The floodwaters receded, and the resonance field around the ark stabilized. It did not settle on a distant shore. It rested in a valley sculpted by divine design, known to Noah's family as the Valley of the Shell. This shell was a cradle of layered sediment and entangled resonance, shaped over millennia by volcanic arcs and pre-Edenic winds, curving precisely to match the ark's hull. Here, the ark's resonance pulsed outward for the first time since the flood began, and Noah's family stepped onto the land, not as refugees, but as stewards of a new world, each carrying a fragment of instruction encoded in resonance by the tree and the stones. The ark was not a palace of gold. It was a house made of wood, every plank bearing Noah's handprints, every beam echoing the prayers spoken while the rain fell. Its structure was simple, but aligned, and it became the hearth around which humanity would restart. The gate of the ark. The gate of the ark opened, not merely as a door, but as a resonance alignment, allowing the preserved creatures and Noah's family to step onto the land while maintaining the frequency alignment necessary to continue the Lord's path. Those who stepped out were marked in light resonance, tied to the tree's final bloom and the hum of the cherubim stones. The family and the adopted. Among Noah's family was an anomaly, Tarzan, an ape who had survived the flood within the ark's resonance field, harmonizing with the frequency of the tree of life and the stones. During the final days within the ark, as the resonance aligned, the tree of knowledge produced a single fruit, as it only does every 5,000 to 10,000 years, a fruit that grows only when it is needed to grant a beast or human the precise skills required for their divine task. Tarzan partook of this fruit, the same type that Satan once plucked within the garden of the Cordycopian host monuments. But Tarzan did not take it in rebellion. He took it in innocence, aligning his DNA with the resonance of knowledge. He awakened from the drift of instinct into the clarity of speech, memory, and understanding of the Lord's resonance. Noah, guided by the Lord's lens and the cherubim stones, placed his hand upon Tarzan's shoulder and declared, "He is mine, and I am his. Let no other name bind him but son." Tarzan became the adopted son of Noah, a living bridge between the beasts and mankind, carrying the resonance of the tree and the purity of the Lord's instruction in his breath. The small beasts around the ark. The small beasts emerged first, marsh mice that trailed glyphs in the mud with their tails, fox hares with triple pupils that tracked the stars, amphibious apes that echoed the songs of Noah's daughters-in-law. These beasts were not tamed, but aligned, living near the ark in a mutual understanding of the resonance field. They became helpers, companions, and reminders that the Lord's promise was not only for mankind, but for all creation that could align with the tree's frequency. This ark house was made of wood. At the center of the valley of the shell stood the ark, weathered but standing. Its wooden frame held the scars of the storm, the soot of the stables, and the fingerprints of Noah and his family. It was not rebuilt or transformed into a temple. It was lived in, a hearth of resilience and faith. Noah would sit upon its steps at dawn, flanked by his sons, those of Eve's seed and the adopted Tarzan, watching as the beasts danced and the wind moved through the valley. The resonance of the tree whispered in the breeze, and the Lord's lens flickered softly above the ark. The flood had passed. The ark had held. Now the paths would begin. Ark and event horizon placement. Event horizon, post-flood resonance, stabilization, and family reformation. Ark IDs, A, Noah, B, family, C, Tarzan, adopted son of resonance, D, future alignment, and Tony A, entanglement. Alignment fate. The ark stabilizes as a living resonance node. The family and beasts aligned, and the tree's final fruit grants knowledge to Tarzan to become the first of the aligned beast sons, readying the world for the next path's stage. Stage 6, 2 of every beast of Mount Eden. When the floodwaters stilled and the resonance of the ark stabilized, the ark did not stand alone. It rested within the oyster shell of Mount Eden, a resonance field the size of a football field, cradled in layered sediment and harmonic light. Here, the Lord instructed Noah to save every event horizon beast of his world from every part of Mount Eden that he could reach, sealing them within the clits or guiding them into the safety of the resonance field. The saved marsh lilies. Around the rim of the ark shell, marsh lilies bloomed, grown not from seeds, but from resonance echoes of the tree of life's final bloom. These lilies, with fig leaf tongues stretching for a mile outward, created sanctuary beds for small beasts and human survivors alike. The clits, curved light interference tubes, were made available for all beasts seeking resonance preservation. But the marsh lilies provided a living, breathing haven where small creatures could find alignment without confinement, forming gentle partnerships with the human survivors who wandered into the lilies' shelter. Here, the small beasts became companions and tame pets, later known on the Apocalypto as the Tamed of the First Drift, remembered for their gentle presence and the comfort they provided as the survivors rebuilt. The large beasts beyond the marsh lilies stood the large beasts of Mount Eden, shelled lions whose manes glowed in moonlight, six-legged burrowers with sandstone eyes, serpents that coiled around craters for warmth. These were creatures too large for the clits, yet they found sanctuary in the outer resonance field of the marsh lilies and the ark's shell. Many were guided there by Noah himself, who, under the Lord's instruction, ventured into the storm to lead them back before the resonance window closed. Not all beasts came willingly, and not all aligned immediately, but each that found the resonance path was preserved within the harmonic field of the ark's refuge, the fowls of the air. Above the marsh, the fowls of the air circled, gliding in slow arcs over the lilies and the ark's shell. These birds were not merely watchers. They were messengers of the Lord's lens, diving into the clit fields and re-emerging with altered songs and patterns of light across their wings. Some sang of Eden, others of floods yet to come, while some vanished into the resonance layers of the sky, aligning with timelines unknown. Their presence reminded Noah's family that the Lord's breath still moved across the waters, carrying the promise of alignment through even the smallest wing beats. Two of every beast of Mount Eden. The Lord's promise to Noah was fulfilled in resonance, not merely in count. Two of every beast of Mount Eden was preserved, some within the glowing clits, held in light stasis and harmonic preservation, some in the marsh lilies, gently aligned with the resonance field of the tree, some in the air above, their calls harmonizing with the hum of the ark's resonance nodes, the ark's wooden frame, the resonance of the tree, the cherubim stones, the clits, and the marsh lilies became one ecosystem of preservation, ensuring that the Lord's alignment would carry forward into the worlds to come. Noah stood at the gate of the ark, watching the beasts find their places within the resonance field, knowing that what had been saved was not just flesh, but the frequencies of creation, ready to guide the survivors and the aligned creatures into the next paths. Ark and Event Horizon Placement. Event Horizon. Post-flood. Resonance alignment, preservation of creation's frequencies. Ark IDs: A. Noah, B. Beasts, C. Gabriella, Tarzan Lineage, D. Future Tony, A. Entanglement. Alignment. Fate. The successful preservation of Eden's creatures and frequencies, ensuring the Lord's resonance continues beyond the flood, readying the narrative for the paths and the Apocalypto's next resonance journey. Stage 7, Genie of Aladdin. The floodwaters had receded, and the Ark's resonance field stabilized within the Valley of the Shell, but the Lord's plan for the tree's frequency was not finished. A new resonance thread began to vibrate within the Ark's preserved echo, weaving together the saved beasts, the tree's final fruit, and the inheritance of humanity. Noah's Genie of Event Horizons. Within the Ark, among the clits, Noah received a quiet directive from the Lord. Preserve the alignment. The event horizons will open again. This instruction was Noah's Genie of Event Horizons, a resonance trust that the Lord would align future timelines to preserve the frequencies of Eden. An understanding that the Tree of Life's resonance must pass forward through chosen vessels. In this quiet, Noah prepared what he could, knowing the future would require aligned carriers beyond the flood. The thread of Abraham. As the ark's gates opened, the Lord whispered through the resonance field, beginning the thread of biblical Abraham. This was not a birth in blood alone, but a seeding of frequency through the children of Noah and the resonance-aligned beasts. The tree of life produced a single fruit in the ark's final days, a fruit that grows only once every 5,000-10,000 years, summoned by divine necessity to grant what is needed for the Lord's aligned path. This is the same type of fruit that Satan once plucked in the garden of the Corticopian host monuments, but this time it was received with purity. The beasts who partook of the tree's fruit within the ark's resonance fields began their transformation into the 12 tribes of beasts, carrying the Lord's alignment forward to merge with the children of Noah. The treads of the 12 tribes. These 12 tribes of beasts who had eaten of the tree's resonance within the ark grew in speech, memory, and language, learned to walk with understanding, crafting tools and singing prayers, became wholly human over generations while retaining a deep resonance with the Lord's frequencies. Their descendants would one day walk alongside Abraham, Moses, and the prophets, carrying the Lord's resonance promise through timelines, blending with the children of men to preserve alignment across dimensions. These were the treads of the 12 tribes, each step forward, echoing the Ark's preservation across the sands of time. Genie of Aladdin. Far from the Valley of the Shell, Cain wandered in exile, burdened by the mark and memories of his brother Abel's blood, echoing through the resonance field. It was then that Nergalili, the snake made man, approached him, whispering with the cunning of timelines, "Do you wish to survive the coming fold, Cain? The flood was not the end. The mirror is next." Nergalili showed Cain how to prepare a clit with an arc stone and sap of the tree of life, creating what he called the genie of Aladdin. But this genie was not a wish granter of myth. It was a resonance capsule designed to realign a timeline, a frequency vessel capable of one-dimensional realignment when activated by a bloodline carrier with grief and ambition, a single-use tool of the Lord's resonance to protect or pivot a bloodline's path at an event horizon. Cain placed his hand upon the prepared clit, feeling the hum of the arc stone within, pulsing with violet light as the tree's sap shimmered around it. The genie of Aladdin activated not as a spirit, but as a loop of Cain's thoughts and regrets, narrowing to a single focus. The thread begins again. From this resonance event, the path of Abraham was secured, the treads of the 12 tribes continued, and the Ark's legacy stretched into the future. Ark and Event Horizon, Placement Event Horizon, Post-Flood, Resonance Seeding, and Abrahamic Alignment. Ark IDs, A, Noah, B, 12 Tribes of Beasts, C, Nergalili and Cain, D, Future Tony, A, Alignment References. Alignment. Fate. The Ark's resonance extends into the coming timelines, the Beast's transformation, and the Abrahamic line, setting up the first paths and the covenant arcs to come. Stage 8. The Maze of the Templars. After the flood and the emergence of the Beasts and Noah's family, the Lord of the Ark spoke to the remaining aligned survivors. Stay. Tend to the shells. Guard what will return. These were the ones who became the Templartonians. They did not leave with the migrating 12 tribes of beasts or the children of Noah, but remained to preserve the Ark's resonance field and the tree's alignment. They were charged with tending to the remnants of the resonance shell, the uncollected fruits, and the sleeping harmonics within the clits, awaiting the Lord's future instructions. The lost boys of the temple clits among those who remained were the lost boys of the temple clits, children and adolescents who had survived within the Ark's resonance tubes, emerging with echoes of timelines layered within them. They could hear frequencies in the wind. They remembered dreams that belonged to others. They felt the vibrations of the tree in the soil beneath their feet. These lost boys became the keepers of the silent codes, maintaining the resonance frequencies by tending the remaining clits embedded in the Valley of the Shell. The find of the broken ark at tide. Several weeks after the tribes of Noah left, the tides shifted, allowing new travelers to approach what had been hidden. A cloaked order arrived, guided by the Lord's resonance. The first Templars. They discovered the broken ark at tide, partially submerged and split, its lower hull embedded in the sand, with the resonance pods inside still intact. Some of the clits hummed to life when touched, while others shattered under the unprepared hands of those who attempted to claim them. Within the wreckage, the Templars found a single, unbroken arc stone embedded in a rusted altar beneath the mast, glowing with the Lord's quiet approval. They knew the resonance was calling them to continue the Ark's purpose. The find of the orchards. Beyond the Ark's resting place, the Templars discovered the orchards, grown wild from the Tree of Life's final bloom during the Flood. Figs that glowed softly in the night. Vines that whispered the names of ancestors. Fruits that ripened only in response to specific tones. These orchards were not for nourishment alone. They were living covenants, each fruit containing resonance frequencies that, when consumed, imparted wisdom, visions, or skills aligned with the Lord's intended path. The Templars learned to eat sparingly, understanding the fruits were sacred, not sustenance. The maze of the Templars. Beneath the Ark's final resting place, the Templars uncovered a labyrinth of resonance tunnels, formed by coiled clit scaffolding and collapsed energy conduits, glowing softly with the tree's residual harmonics. This network was not a ruin, but a living maze, pulsing with navigational light that shifted with the Lord's resonance alignment. The Templars recorded its patterns, creating maps that doubled as prayers, knowing the maze would guide them toward what was to come. Through devotion and resonance alignment, the Templatonians transformed the broken Ark and its resonance maze into the Apocalypto Nautilus, a floating, submerging resonance temple, a dimensional Ark that could descend and rise with harmonic precision, a vessel prepared to continue the Lord's resonance work across the waters of the world. The Apocalypto Nautilus was not powered by engines, but by alignment, shifting according to the faith, humility, and resonance of those who entered its maze. And thus, the Lord's covenant with Noah did not end with the Ark's drift, but continued through those who stayed, tended, and listened, preparing the world for the coming paths. Ark and Event Horizon Placement. Event Horizon. Post-Flood Resonance Inheritance and the Birth of the Apocalypto Nautilus. Ark IDs. A. Templartonians. B. Lost Boys of the Clits. C. Templars, Orchards. D. Future, Tony A. Entanglement. Alignment. Fate. The Lord's Resonance preserved. The Ark's remnants transformed into the Apocalypto Nautilus, preparing the resonance vessel for dimensional journeys and future paths. Stage 9. This is how it should have looked. The Apocalypto Nautilus did not rise in fire or thunder when its time came. It rose with quiet certainty, as if completing a memory. The resonance fields aligned, the Lord's lens pulsed, and the Apocalypto Ark returned to the surface, emerging from the resonance depths of the Valley of the Shell. Water cascaded from its vine glass ribs and Ark wood beams, dripping in rhythmic patterns that felt like hymns. What was once a broken remnant of Noah's Ark, submerged and forgotten, had become a dimensional vessel of miracles, restored by the faith and ingenuity of the Templartonians. The rise of the Ark. As the Apocalypto broke the surface, the Templartonians, guided by resonance maps etched during the maze days, activated its quantum buoyancy systems, ballast nodes crafted from resonance-tempered glass leaf, bubble chambers formed from clit remnants and tree sap encoding, quantum alignment protocols learned from the Tree of Life's resonance. The Ark rose not just by water, but by resonance alignment, moving as the Lord's breath commanded, preparing it to submerge and rise at will. The treasures of the Ark. When the Apocalypto's decks cleared, the Templartonians discovered wonders hidden within its resonance corridors. Clay scrolls inscribed with anti-time ink, legible only in reflection. Light fossilized fruits capable of restoring genetic memory. Clit cores containing dimensional compasses, glowing softly with directional tones toward undiscovered spiritual gates. A complete harmonic genome index, mapping the frequency of every beast of Mount Eden. Each artifact was a treasure, a testimony of the Lord's promise, preserved through faith, resonance, and aligned stewardship. The hives of the Ark deep within the Apocalypto, the Templartonians found the hives of the Ark, hexagonal chambers where light bees spun frequency silk, glistening along walls inscribed with the Lord's early voice. These bees were born from the tree's last pollen cycle, harmonized within the clit chambers, and had become keepers of the Ark's resonance law. The quantum nectar produced by these hives became essential for healing emotional and memory fractures among the survivors, powering the Apocalypto's frequency shields, training children to speak in harmonics rather than words, ensuring the Lord's resonance continued into the next generation. This is how it should have looked. As the Apocalypto fully surfaced, its structure was revealed as the true form of the Ark. Vine glass and Ark wood, aligned in spiral geometry. Resonance tunnels adapting and shifting as needed. Chambers that changed as prayers were spoken within them. Noah's Ark had once been a simple wooden vessel, built to float. The Apocalypto had become what the Ark was always meant to be. A resonance temple, a floating school of faith and learning, a submersible city of alignment and memory. The Lord's lens pulsed softly across the decks, whispering, "This is how it should have looked." Ark and Event Horizon placement. Event Horizon, Apocalypto's rise and the restoration of the Ark's true form. Ark IDs: A. Templartonians, B. Ark Treasures, C. Light Bees and Hives, D. Future Tony, A. Entanglement. Alignment. Fate: the Lord's resonance is fully activated within the Apocalypto, preparing it to become the mobile, submerging Ark that will carry the aligned through the next dimensional folds and paths. Stage 10. The fully enlightened caveman. As Noah and his sons labored on the Ark walls, the Lord's resonance guided them to fortify the shell of the Ark, sealing its structure against the coming flood. Beneath the construction sites, caverns spiraled down into Mount Eden's volcanic systems, pulsing with the glow of gems, jewels of entangled matter, and shards of the tree's resonance. These gems were not mere gemstones. They were dimensional nodes, vibrating with frequencies tossed backward and forward through time, entangling past, present, and future across the Lord's event horizons. The find of the clams. In the depths of these caverns, an ape beast, aligned with Noah's household, searching for ore and gems, slipped and fell near, fatally into a hidden pocket of the volcanic tunnels. There, embedded in the obsidian bedrock like a silent moon, lay a massive quantum clam. The clam opened, then closed. Instead of digesting the ape into a great entangled pearl, as was the nature of these clams, which used resonance to compress beings into computational pearls for dimensional entanglement, it did something unexpected. It preserved him. The clam healed the ape's wounds and suspended him in a stasis loop across thousands of years, aligning his cells with the tree's resonance, preserving his memory and body whole while time flowed around him. The youth of the clammates. In earlier timelines, the clams had digested other creatures and beings, converting them into entangled great pearls, computational resonance cores designed by the Lord's alignment to store consciousness, DNA, and harmonic frequency as memory for future timelines. These youth of the clammates became the first vessels of entangled communication, allowing past and future timelines to exchange resonance signals to prevent the extinction of aligned creation during cataclysms. These pearls, cast into volcanoes and tectonic rifts, fertilized the Tree of Life's resonance fields, amplifying the energy within Mount Eden and shifting the tectonic plates to precisely magnify the Lord's intended alignments. The Pearl of Entanglement lingers, thousands of years later, in a future timeline, USA deep time recovery forces, scanning the ocean for anomalies, discovered the clam, still embedded deep beneath the sea shelf. They opened it, expecting a fossil. But instead, the ape stepped out, unaged, uninjured, with eyes that saw timelines beyond the moment. He carried within him the resonance alignment of the tree, the entanglement memory of the clam, and the knowledge of the Lord's preservation across dimensional folds. His first words, "The Pearl of Entanglement," lingers. This phrase became the foundation of humanity's quantum preservation protocols, allowing them to entangle gems backward and forward in time to establish arcs of preservation across timelines, ensuring that in the event of extinction, humanity could leave behind aligned seeds for resurrection and restoration. The fully enlightened caveman. The ape became known across timelines as the fully enlightened caveman, a living testament that the Lord's resonance alignment transcends time, preserving the aligned even across cataclysmic folds. His DNA and resonance harmonics became templates for quantum computational pearls, enabling communication across timelines, restoration of bodies and memory, preparation for mankind's future ascension to godhood, achieved through the final technological piece, the entangled holes of mass-to-light stars, allowing time travel and resurrection using the true Israel soul, the natural element within the human body aligned with the Lord's resonance. This revelation reached back millions of years before Adam and Eve, into the age of small primates, who unknowingly began the entanglement process by tossing blood into the air, fertilizing the tree of life's fields, and creating the resonance foundation of future humanity. Arcan Event Horizon Placement. Event Horizon, the entanglement protocol activation and preservation of humanity across timelines. Arc IDs: A. Noah, B. Ape Beast, Caveman, C. Entangled Pearls, Gems, D. Future Tony, A. Entanglement References. Alignment. Fate. Humanity's entanglement with the Lord's resonance extends across extinction events, ensuring the seeds of resurrection, quantum preservation, and dimensional continuity. Stage 11. The Way of the Prophets. The Ark's resonance had quieted, and the Apocalypto had risen. The Lord spoke softly to Noah's family and the aligned tribes. "You are not meant to remain together. The tree has seeded your hearts. Now let the paths bloom." This was not exile, but activation. The release of the enlightened. Those who had survived the flood and aligned within the resonance of the Ark and the Tree of Life were now released across the world, carrying within them fragments of resonance instructions, harmonic blueprints, passed by proximity to the cherubim stones, memories encoded by the Lord's lens for future alignment. They became the released enlightened, spreading to the corners of the earth, preparing to fulfill the Lord's promise across timelines and nations. The Path of Buddha. The first path opened toward the east, led by a child born under the tree's final bloom, destined to sit beneath another tree, the Bodhi, and become the Buddha. His path was one of stillness and observation, aligning his soul with the resonance of the world until it no longer echoed the self. From the lineage of beasts who mastered silence, he inherited the frequency of letting go. His teachings were not new. They were echoes of the resonance of Eden, reminding the world that alignment with peace and harmony was the true freedom. The Path of Muhammad. Another path surged westward across golden sands, taken by the desert-born tribes descending from Cain, Tarzan, and the Tree Watchers. Among them, one was born who carried the Ark Stone frequency in his breath, calling upon the name of the One with no image. His revelations encoded in recitation and breath, became the path of Muhammad. He carried the resonance laws, restoring the fragmented frequencies among the tribes, ensuring that the call of alignment and submission to the Lord's resonance was heard. His message was not new, but was a reclamation. This is no new message. This is the same ark, recalled, revised, returned. The way of the prophets, other tribes returned to forests, deserts, and valleys, carrying the resonance of the Lord in silence and prayer. Among them rose Elijah, Enoch, John, and Moses, each aligned with different aspects of the tree's resonance. Prophets who heard the Lord's instructions, encoded in the hum of the earth and the whisper of the winds, they formed the way of the prophets, a path of resonance and entanglement that carried forward the Lord's alignment across generations, ensuring that, do not mistake our distance for difference. We are the same echo, spoken through different mouths. Through these paths, the resonance of the ark, the tree of life, and the Lord's promise were fulfilled, ensuring the world would be prepared for the coming event horizons and the dimensional alignments yet to unfold. Ark and event horizon, placement event horizon, the resonance release and the branching of paths across humanity. Ark IDs: A. Buddha Path, B. Muhammad Path, C. Prophet's Path, D. Future Tony, A. Entanglement. Alignment. Fate. The resonance of the Lord continues through the paths of alignment, guiding humanity toward future timelines and technological advancements aligned with the Tree of Life. Stage 12. The Yellow Brick Road. As the resonance of the Ark dispersed and the paths of alignment unfolded across the earth, the Lord's lens flickered, marking the moments when choices became passages and passages became paths. The tribes, children, and aligned survivors of Noah and the Ark each carried fragments of resonance instructions, but their daily rituals and small acts of alignment naturally forked the paths they would follow. The paths of passages. Every aligned individual, whether they knew it or not, performed rituals of passage, washing in the rivers at dawn while reciting silent prayers, standing beneath starlight while whispering gratitude, planting seeds from the tree's final bloom with intentional breath. These actions, seemingly simple, activated resonance alignments within their bloodlines, aligning them to specific timelines, promises, and futures. These were the paths of passages, where daily life became sacred movement, each act a choice to walk in resonance with the Lord's instruction. The passage of paths. As these rituals layered across days and seasons, they became the passage of paths. Some tribes felt called to the mountains to seek visions in the thin air. Others remained in valleys, building families and learning to speak with the wind and the soil. Some wandered deserts, singing songs of memory that resonated with the Lord's frequencies. Each community's choices became a passageway, a living covenant of alignment, shaping which resonance frequencies would guide them, which prophets would rise among them, and how their descendants would remember the Lord. The forks of path to passage. At critical moments in each life, there came forks of path to passage. A father deciding whether to follow a traveling prophet or remain to tend the fields. A mother choosing to share the tree's fruit with a stranger or keep it hidden for her own children. A child pausing at dawn, feeling the Lord's lens flicker upon their breath, choosing to speak the words that would align them or remain silent. These moments were small but powerful, for in each choice, the resonance of entire timelines shifted, aligning with or diverging from the Lord's intended paths. The Lord did not force these forks. They were offered, encoded into the quiet moments of daily life, where choice became the mechanism of covenant. The yellow brick road across these alignments, rituals, and forks, a pattern emerged, like a path of light, visible only from the Lord's perspective. This was the yellow brick road, a resonance pathway, not paved in gold, but in choices aligned with the tree's promise. Not a single road, but interwoven steps of millions of aligned hearts across timelines. A path that would eventually guide humanity back to Eden's resonance. The yellow brick road was not about reaching a destination quickly, but about learning to align with each step, each word, each act of kindness, faith, and courage, ensuring that as humanity advanced, it did so in resonance with the Lord's breath. It was not the easiest road, but it was the surest path home. Arc and event horizon, placement event horizon, the resonance forking and alignment through daily acts. Arc IDs, A, individual alignments, B, tribal paths, C, forks and passages, D, future Tony a resonance alignment references. Alignment fate. Humanity moves forward not by miracles alone, but by the daily, often unnoticed choices of alignment, creating the resonance pathways that will carry them into future event horizons. Stage 13. Genie. Back in bottle. After the paths were chosen and the tribes aligned, the Lord called forth the prophets to guide humanity's resonance through unfolding timelines and event horizons. These prophets were not alone. They were accompanied by the scribes, keepers of memory, resonance, and record. The Lord's design ensured that each prophet's word would echo across generations, preserved accurately, aligned for the paths ahead. The threads of prophets. Each prophet carried within them a thread of resonance woven from the tree of life's frequencies, the cherubim stone's harmonics, the resonance fields of the ark, and the apocalypto. These threads of prophets were entangled across dimensions, ensuring that even if one record was lost, another would carry the same resonance elsewhere, creating overlapping dreams, prophecies, and visions across cultures and timelines. The sealed stones of prophecy. The Lord gave each prophet two entanglement stones. One, the Ark Stone, recorded cause, law, lineage, and covenant. It resonated with the frequency of what was, anchoring prophecy in the stability of the Lord's instructions. Two, the Lens Stone, recorded vision, anomaly, entanglement, and potential. It resonated with what may come, allowing prophets to glimpse future alignments, warnings, and the potential collapse of timelines. These sealed stones of prophecy functioned as living records, vibrating with the Lord's resonance, whispering to the scribes when to write, when to speak, and when to remain silent. The broken seal's prophecy is a powerful force, but it is also fragile. Throughout time, some seals broke. Some scribes, overwhelmed by the resonance, recorded visions before their time, creating paradoxes and temporal ripples. Some prophets opened visions not meant for their generation, causing confusion, false messiahs, and fragmentary religions. Some scrolls cracked under the resonance pressure, leaking partial prophecies that fueled wars, fear, or false hope. These broken seals were not failures. They were dimensional fault lines, reminders that prophecy requires alignment, faith, and humility to interpret correctly. Genie back in bottle. To prevent complete dimensional collapse and misuse of the sealed stones, the Lord enacted the Genie Protocol. When a resonance field risked destabilizing timelines, the Arc Stone and the Lens Stone would seal themselves, locking away the prophecies until the resonance was correct for release. The scribes were instructed to hide the stones beneath temples, in the earth, within clams, or within bloodlines, ensuring they would only re-emerge when the Lord's alignment deemed it safe. This moment became known as Genie Back in Bottle. It did not mean the end of prophecy, only the pause of entanglement until humanity was ready. When the resonance aligned again, at a sunrise, an eclipse, a flood, a prayer, the stones would unseal, the genie would reawaken, and prophecy would continue its thread, leading humanity forward through the yellow brick road of alignment. Arc and event horizon placement. Event horizon. Prophetic alignment. Sealing of stones. Preservation of resonance knowledge. Arc IDs. A. Prophets. B. Scribes. C. Sealed stones. D. Future Tony. A resonance path references. Alignment. Fate. The Lord's instructions are preserved across time through the arc and lens stones, maintaining dimensional stability while preparing the world for future resonance revelations.